we've learned anything from these past couple of years, my fellow Americans, it's that personal medical freedom and liberty are in crisis. America Out Loud Pulse brings together the top experts in healthcare-related fields to keep you a beat ahead. All right. So the media. You gotta love the media, don't you, friends? I mean, you know, they just dumb everything down. And as I was just saying to my colleague here a moment ago, they stupefy everything, the entire conversation. And I want to start there, kind of. The headline on this one, why does everyone seem to have the flu right now? Interesting. But it gets a little richer than that. It's in the Huffington Post. Let's start there. Welcome to America Out Loud Pulse. It is indeed Malcolm Out Loud here, along with my co-host,
Dr. Peter McCullough.
So this one, I chuckled when I seen this and I said, oh, Dr. McCullough's going to love this one here. So let me start here. All right. The CDC suggests, they're saying, now listen to this spread here, Dr. McCullough. They say between 20 million to 39 million. Now that's a pretty wicked spread. That's double the money. I don't know where they come up with that, but 20 million to 39 million people have been sickened by the flu. Up to 18 million have visited a doctor. Up to half a million have been hospitalized. And anywhere from 14,000 to 43,000 have died so far this flu season, thus far. And they're suggesting that the flu is sending tons of people to the hospital. And it goes on and on. And it's interesting. The first thing doctors are seeing this flu season is a lot of hospitalizations. And I'm curious to get your take on this. The hospitalization rate recorded at the end of the year was the third highest peak for flu-related hospitalizations, according to Robert H. Hopkins, Jr., the medical director of the National Foundation of Infectious Diseases. The cumulative hospitalization rate for the season is currently, listen to this, 47.8 per 100,000 people. That's the fourth highest rate for this time of year since the 2010 season. We've had high rates of emergency department visits, outpatient visits, hospitalizations across the country. Have you heard, have you gotten any sense of this? Have you heard anything about this?
You know, the CDC has, you know, really annual types of manuscripts that are published by academic authors summarizing the prior season. And the first author that I can recall is 1040, is the last name. And just to give you an idea, of influenza accounts for about 15% of all respiratory hospitalizations, 15%. Okay. Now, of influenza, about 75% of it's influenza A, and 25% of it's influenza B. And I am looking at the hospitalization data, and sure enough, we're running that right now. I'm looking at the CDC. Now, of everybody they test with flu, right now, as of, just a few weeks ago, only about 10% of people they test are positive. So maybe what they're talking about is presumptive flu before they have the labs confirm it, because there's plenty of hospitalized cases. But I haven't seen it in my clinical practice, to tell you the truth. It just seems, right, it seems a bit exaggerated.
Well, that's what I'm wondering. Let me give you a couple other points here. They're saying the majority of flu cases this year have been caused by the influenza H1N1, which we've been talking about, a strain that tends to hit children and adults harder than influenza H3N2, which typically is more severe in older adults. Some data suggests that people affected with influenza are more likely to be admitted to intensive care, require mechanical ventilation, or die. Different strains affect people differently. But the H1N1, that's what they're saying.
Yeah, but I'm looking at U.S. News. This is January 12, 2024. So granted, you know, a few more months have gone by. But listen, January 4th would be the mid of the season. Right. And they're reporting data from the CDC 150,000 hospitalizations and 9,400 deaths. So nowhere close to the numbers you have. I think that what they may be reporting is presumptive. I wouldn't buy into this. Listen, a bad flu season would be about 70,000 deaths. That I think that happened in 2017. And, you know, they're not deaths directly due to flu. It's people are elderly, they get influenza. In fact, there's a risk when you have flu of having a heart attack. So people end up, you know, fatal heart attack, fall and have a hip fracture, you know, never get out of the hospital, have other complications.
Other circumstances are going on, yeah.
So, but no, what you're reading, to me, it sounds hyperbolic. So,
A lot of this stuff is that way. And I guess that's my point here. Is that they put this kind of stuff, I'm very sincere when I say, you know, a lot of people read this Huffington Post business and, or US News to them or any of them, but they read this stuff from the Huffington Post and they really believe this is all gospel. But here's the drum roll on this. Are you ready for this? And this one you're just going to love. Here's I haven't even told you the drum roll on this piece yet. That's why. Okay, so here it is. Alarmingly, low vaccination rates are fueling the spread. Are you ready for this here? So this year's flu shot appears to be a strong match against the circulating strains, which includes H1N1, H3N2, and B. Victoria, according to Hopkins. Now, this means the shot is effective at preventing illness and, most importantly, reducing the severity of the infection and the risk of complications in those who get sick. And then they say, and I quote, he says, it looks like the vaccine is pretty good. Pretty good. The problem is that flu vaccination rates are abnormally low this season. Imagine that. There continues to be a racial disparities in vaccine coverage, and rates are lowest in rural communities and among those with low socioeconomic status. Low vaccination rates means more people are protected. And so this is what they're selling. If it says if more people around you are spreading the virus, then the vaccine protects you from severe illness. It may not protect you as well against catching flu, but just because of the frequency of exposure and the number of exposures. So here's what I'm asking. Is any of this truth that I just shared with you? Is there any truth to any of this? Because they're saying, you know, that's the driving mechanism here, is that nobody's vaccinated anymore. So that's why everybody's getting sick with this thing. That's the message.
No, this has been very well studied. The only reason to take a vaccine is for the partial chance of some protection. Here's a paper by Omit and colleagues. Now, it's older, but it did test a transmission. This is from 2013. It was published in Clinical Infectious Diseases. And the conclusions are there was no evidence that vaccination prevented household transmission once influenza was introduced, and older people are at particular risk despite vaccination. So, you know, if you actually look carefully on the government websites, they'll tell you the flu vaccine does not stop the spread of flu. It does not. Just like, by the way, polio vaccine does not stop the spread of polio. It says right on the website. So these are deceptive, basically vaccine advertisements. And, you know, anytime we'll hear news, respiratory syncytial virus, influenza, COVID, recently measles, oh, it's because people don't take vaccines. That's not the case at all. A vaccine would only be if someone wanted this partial protection. It's typically way less than 50% protection. And, you know, maybe for, you know, an elderly person who's on oxygen. I saw a man yesterday. He's in heart failure. He's very sick. We had to give him medicines in the clinic. I barely thought the guy was going to make it. Well, if he got influenza, Malcolm, at age 86, it could be curtains. So maybe even partial protection in him is worth it. But, you know, the vaccine syndicate, they want little babies to take the influenza vaccine. Babies, they don't get influenza.
They want pregnant women to take them. They want people that shouldn't be taking them. You know.
Yeah. So this idea that this false presumption that it stops spread is wrong. It says right here, this is Texas Department of Health and Services. The vaccine is available in a shot for everyone, including babies as young as 6 months. With rare exceptions, meaning like you should almost never have an exception to the influenza vaccine. Well, listen, this is the influenza vaccine is the most widely administered vaccine in U.S. history. About half the country takes a flu shot. So if they're telling us that this is a particularly bad flu season, this is really an indictment of, you know, the lack of effectiveness of the influenza vaccine. Don't forget, you started out the story by saying lots of people are being hospitalized. The very first thing that they won't tell you is, well, who took the vaccine?
Right. But with vaccination rates being really super low, and you and I have been talking about that for some time now, a lot of people have turned the channel and they don't trust the system anymore. They're not taking them. Hasn't that impacted things a little bit? Are less people taking the flu, the influenza one, I'm saying?
Well, we'll have to see the data. You know, okay. In any given year, maybe it's half of adults or 45% of adults. Usually the number's about 90 million. Yeah. So if we have... well, we got 330 million and 70 are children, so it's 240. So yeah, we're a little less than half every year, 90 million. But that's the same. It's never 100%, Malcolm. When was the last time you took a flu shot?
Never. Never.
Well, there you go. So you're in that half. Look at me. I took flu shots every single year since I entered medical school. And it was only the last 2 years I didn't have the damn shot.
Yeah. The damn shot. I love it.
Well, I mean, honestly, I never even got a test for influenza. It never even came into my mind. And now they're saying I'm supposed to take an RSV vaccine. I've never even thought about RSV, Malcolm. The only reason I took the influenza shot is they said I'd be kicked off a hospital staff. Yeah. And it was such a hassle. I'd just get the shot. It's just like anybody else. I was taking it for a non-medical reason. If we've learned anything, don't take vaccines unless there is a medical reason to take one.
That's right. Well, you said it perfectly, I think, a little bit ago. Did you call it the vaccine syndicate or something like that, right?
Yeah, cartel, syndicate.
Cartel, whatever. But it is. But I think my bigger point is this HuffPost piece here. You know, I know a lot of people who read this and people I even know and people like, and they treat this as gospel stuff and they really think this is the case. Like, and so they read this fear stuff and they think, oh my God, everybody's getting the flu. Oh my God. Like people are being hospitalized. I say, oh my God, people are dying and stuff. Oh my God, I better go get it. I mean, this is what they think. And this is how they drive this. That's a fear induced campaign. Don't you think? Isn't this what this is?
Yeah. It's basically a vaccine advertisement. So they, you know, if there wasn't a vaccine behind this, I don't think anybody would care.
Amen.
You see what I mean? The whole purpose of doing this is to somehow get people juiced to take more vaccines.
It is. And I want to share with you, Dr. McConnell, I think you'll appreciate this. This week here, since we talked last, so about three, four days ago, right in there, since last week. My wife Dee had started to get sick, and I have to share with you in full disclosure that I think I probably have a little PTSD when she gets sick, frankly, and I don't say that lightly because I don't have PTSD on anything, but we went through hell and almost lost her, and so I'm sort of like, you know, here's what happened. She says to me, well, I got my throat's bothering me a little bit. And she said, and I've got the throat, some tickles going on the throat and my head a little bit. And I said, oh, dear, what's going on? She said, I don't know. She said, probably nothing. She says, you know, like she's always that way. She's not a hypochondriac at all. She don't want to deal with anything. And so she said, you know, probably nothing. Don't worry about it, you know, whatever. And then that night when we went to sleep, she was having trouble breathing. Her breathing was way off, like way off. And it was like she was making noises with her. And I said, oh, my God. And I really was a little fearful because we went through hell when this happened with COVID. Mm-hmm. I mean, really hell. I mean, I've never been through anything in my life, anything close to what we went through with the Delta variant and her near-death experience. I've never been through anything quite like this. I can't even describe it to you anymore. And so I started hearing some of that breathing problems, and I thought, oh man, you got to be kidding me. And I'm starting to get a little like, what's going on? You know? And I said, okay, Dee, you want to go on your side or position your pillow off? I said, let's go get you some meds. She said, well, no, I'm tired. I said, no, let's get up and get some meds in your system so they'll get into your system tonight, overnight. She said, oh, okay. She reluctantly gets up and I go in. I gave her several things. I gave her the absolutely. I gave her the Immune Super Boost twice a day. I gave her the ANPM, which is another product Healthy Cell has, which I really believe in. But I also gave her other things that I take, like NAC. I meant to bring it into the studio here so I could tell all the listeners what I gave her. But here's the short of it. I doused her with all this stuff that I take regularly, that I take more than she takes anyways. And I gave her all of this and some other things. And I said, okay, let's just take all this. And then the next morning we did it again. And, you know, so did it again the next morning. And later that day, again, same thing. I did twice a day. And I here's my theory, Dr. McCullough. And I don't know if you may think I'm crazy. I don't know. But my thinking is if you hit this stuff head on, and you really go at it aggressively, that's what I always do, by the way. And if you do that, you can actually starve this thing off. And so I went at it that way with her for like that day and a half. And by golly, she almost started immediately to turn the corner and she started to feel better. Mm-hmm. And I thought, because she was feeling really oozy there, and we got everything out, including the Cofix and all that stuff. And it really seemed to work. And then I tell you what the other thing is, yesterday and today, I got her out with me. Usually her schedule doesn't coordinate as well with mine, so she doesn't always walk with me every day. But I try to get her out as much as I can, because that's what I did after COVID. I got her out every day, walking, you know, several miles a day. That's how she got her energy back and her stamina after the hospital deal back then. Mm-hmm. And but I walk far more than she does. And so I got her out the last couple of days walking about 4 miles each day. How do you like those apples there, Dr. Right? Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, come on.
Yeah,
I got her. Yeah. And, you know, she's doing remarkably. She just called me a little bit ago. Yeah, I'm ready to go. Let's have great dinner tonight. Whenever she feels great. So what do you think? Not a bad strategy, right?
Here's the concept. If you start with a sore throat, start to get the congestion, and you do nothing, there's like a 100% chance you're getting the full cold. I mean, just 100%. Yeah. And in her case, you know, we think she's had some original damage to the lungs from COVID-19, so the stakes are a lot higher in her case. Now, if you do what, like Joe Rogan said, throw the kitchen sink at it, no matter what virus it is, whether it be a paramyxovirus, a rhinovirus, another version of the COVID, the JN1 variant, which was, I think, particularly difficult, RSV, influenza. If you throw everything at it and you're hitting it with the viricidal nasal sprays and washes, you're hitting it with vitamin C and you know, all of your things you mentioned, echinacea and what have you, they're all slightly antiviral. So if you throw everything at it, and you can slow the virus down enough so it doesn't overwhelm the nasal mucosal immune system, then the immune system can go in and snuff this out. Remember, we're breathing in viruses all the time, probably every day, and our body says, okay, now I got this, snuffing outside. It's only when you get enough of it and it starts to replicate and overwhelm the system, that's when the sore throat starts in and the congestion. That's when you can't let it overwhelm the system. And so what you did is you went after it, and you probably just caught up with it enough, and her, you know, immunity knocked it off. And
so I think so. I think so, because even vitamin D, I'll give you an example, Peter. Normally we'd take 5,000 IUs.
Yeah.
And but with that happening, I upped that to earlier in the day, 15,000 IUs and another 10 at night. I slammed it with vitamin D.
Yeah, 30, and you know, in the McCullough protocol, based on, believe it or not, it was based on dinner I had with Eric Clapton's doctor, Dermot O'Flynn, who's a naturopathic doctor, and we went over all the data. He convinced me that vitamin D really is therapeutic at high doses. So McCullough protocol, we upped it to 20,000 units a day acutely ill, and some people actually use 50,000. So you're at 35. You know, recently I had this where I had the start of a sore throat. I said, oh my gosh, here's my monthly cold. I cannot let this happen. And I went through the same thing, and I basically aborted it. So it can be done, but let me tell you what, it takes effort. And you know what? Another part of this vignette's important is, what was her inclination? Oh, I'm too tired. I'm not going to do anything. When you start to feel sick, in general, you tend to retract and you don't get up and get after it yourself, that's the reason why people get sick.
That's exactly it. I'm telling you, that's exactly it. And I had to, it was late in the evening. She was exhausted. She wasn't feeling well. She wanted to go to bed. But that first night, her breathing was really concerning to me. And, you know, I told you, remember, a week or two ago, she's still having those breathing difficulties here and there. I mean, she had some very severe damage to the lungs with COVID and that Delta.
Well, let's talk about this, because I got a call on this the other night. We say breathing difficulties. Yeah. You know, what's common after a severe pulmonary infection, after cardiac surgery, I'm trying to think of the other stroke, it can happen, is actually a disordered breathing called Chain-Stokes breathing. And Chain-Stokes breathing is little shallow breath, shallow breath, shallow breath, shallow breath, big breath, like you just feel like you have to take a deep breath.
Yeah.
And it's a disordered form of breathing. So a lot of people, you know, mention this, like, my breathing isn't normal and it's actually Chain-Stokes. When it's really pulmonary damage, it's not necessarily rapid or disordered breathing, it's simply, you know, running out of gas early, like not being able to do the same physical exertion, going up the stairs three times, and you have to stop to catch your breath where you didn't have to before. Right. So I think it's important for people to try to quantify this. We do lose pulmonary function as we get older. We lose pulmonary function. So it is important to exercise and to take deep breaths.
Exactly.
Force yourself to take deep breaths. If you're out for a walk, jog in front of a few
houses. Well, she's walking fine. I mean, I had her out this morning walking. We walked 4 miles this morning and 4 or 5 miles yesterday. Yeah.
But does she have sometimes at rest this kind of disordered breathing, particularly at night or after eating?
She was sick. It just happened when she was sick.
Maybe it came out when she was sick.
It really was. Yeah. Well, no, on a regular basis, she actually does very well, I think. But when in other words, if something's going to hit her, the potential of a hit in her heart is really there because of that internal, I think, the internal damage that was done from the lungs, the scarring of the lungs, you know.
Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. I believe that's what it is, yeah.
But I want our listeners to understand that there is this form of breathing called Chain-Stokes, and it fools you. My father-in-law, who had open-heart surgery years ago, they were living remote. We got a phone call. He's home. He can't breathe. He can't breathe. He can't breathe. And I was trying to figure out, is it just this Chain-Stokes, which is a benign pattern, or does he have fluid around the heart or fluid in the chest? And we went back and forth, and finally said, okay, call 911. So they call 911, and they're in the Canadian system, and it's just, this is like a big deal to go to the hospital in Canada. Mm-hmm. And he gets admitted, and a poor guy goes through all this stuff. And then the surgeon said, he yells at me. He goes, why did you send him to the hospital? He just had Chain-Stokes breathing. And I said, well, because I couldn't tell. And I was, 1,000 miles away. If you guys just would have evaluated him in the ER, we could have avoided all this. And it's just if there's been a stroke, open heart surgery, I've actually seen it after COVID. Somebody recently had it after another infection, and it's not short of breath. It's a rapid, progressively rapid, more shallow breath, and then finally the need to take a deeper breath. It's actually just a brain pulmonary reflex that is off kilter. It's called Chain-Stokes, capital Chein-Stokes, Stokes.
Okay. All right. Well, these are things. The reason I even share any of this, and I found the story at the HuffPost was interesting, but I guess I want people to know. Here's my message. And back to what you said, Rogan says, throw the kitchen sink at it. Okay. I believe, and I always believe, a healthy immune system is the key to all of these things. I've said that from day one. I always do believe. And I think if you take matters into your own hands, you can stop off a lot of these bigger mm-hmm. problems, which is what I see. And so I get really up on things that way. And I up the ante on like the vitamin D again. I'm giving her, bigger doses than you normally would take. But even vitamin C, we'll take extra vitamin C. I give her NAC. I give her multiple other things. I'm trying to remember what they are. Now I take every day, and I don't think I've ever told you this, Dr. McCullough, but I take, it's another product from Healthy Cell I take, and I've taken it for several years, and I like it a lot, and I gave it to her a lot, because she doesn't take as much as I do. She has never liked pills and stuff like that, but anyways, it is what it is. It's called AMPM nutrition, AMPM. And you take two in the morning with AM and two with PM. And what it is it's 90 plus phytonutrients, vitamins, minerals, probiotics, enzymes to support the health span. It's a phenomenal product. I love it. AMPM nutrition. And I'm just looking at it right now. I just pulled it up so I could remember what it was, because I never talk about this on here. I don't know why that I haven't, but it's very reasonable. It's only $59.95. I just looked at that too. I didn't even know the price. I didn't remember it. But I take that every day. So what I did is when I got her up with the past week, I gave, because she doesn't normally take that herself. And so she got sick and I didn't. Now, maybe that tells you something. I don't know. But I gave her the AMPM immediately all those days. Plus, I gave her two immune super boosts in the morning and the night. So I really believe in this stuff, Peter, you know, this this healthy cell brand. I believe in it to prevent and stop off these kind of health problems. And I believe in some other things as well. It's not just that. It's multiple things. You could have to, you know, extensive approach. But I like Rogan's approach to throw the kitchen sink at it. I think if you get aggressive, you can stop it off, push it back, higher doses of these things. And in other words, I don't know, maybe what I would say to you is I would call it, you electrify your immune system, you bang, you know.
Right. It's much different than the old way of thinking where you're just going to tough out a cold.
Exactly.
And a lot of us used to get a cold and say, you know what, here's a cold, I'm going to tough it out.
Exactly.
Or I'm going to drink some tea with honey in it or something.
I think there's too much out there today to take that chance, is my message, Peter.
Yeah, that's it. There's too much out there. There's too many things you can do. I do agree with the healthy cell. You know, I'm doing the immune super boost as well. That stuff, you know, and also in general, all of these vitamins and supplements tend to be low dose recommended. So, you know, healthy cell for me is a twice a day. It's just the immune super boost is twice a day.
Yeah.
Focus and recall is just once a day because it's slightly stimulatory. But, you know, I tell people generally with any medical problems, whatever multivitamin you're on, take it twice a day. Give your body two opportunities to absorb it.
Yeah. All right. So I wanted to just share that with everybody here and just get you, you know, feeling. This is why we have these products. This is, to me, it dawned on me from last week to this week when Dee got sick, when my wife was sick. And, you know, I tell you, you know, it's funny. I don't know about you, Peter, but with your wife and, you know, but I hate it when my wife is sick. I'd rather have it me than her. You know what I'm saying? You know?
Part of it's PTSD, but, you know, all the patients, I had a patient today, Malcolm, has a congenital syndrome. We took the vax, didn't work. He got COVID so severely. He's in the ICU, monoclonal antibodies, everything. Boy. Almost goes on the ventilator. He's in the ICU for days.
Wow.
And let me tell you what, he's got some PTSD. He's just, he's like, I just cannot get there again. People know that if they were close to getting on the ventilator, if they wouldn't have been on the ventilator, that would have been it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, when your wife looks at you in the worst moment of your life and says to you with your daughter looking on that I'm not, and who would never say this in a million years, I'm not going to make it. I'm dying. I mean, and you are forced and you've been given, she's on oxygen and she's at her worst, lowest possible moment and she can't breathe anymore. The oxygen down is to low 80s, 79 to 82. The oxygen machine can no longer function at it. And you're losing her after giving her early treatments and giving her ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, the budesonide, all the things I did. You remember that. You told me what to do back then. I did it all. And I think we got that. But yeah, so, you know, when she tells me this week, a few days ago, you know, I'm having trouble breathing and I hear her at night and I can sense it. I thought, oh God, this is like, I get like fearful that her lungs, because I don't know how extensive that damage is, frankly. She's come back really hard though. She's been an amazing fighter and I'm so proud of her. And you know, she works in healthcare herself as a manager. I mean, in a office manager, that sort of environment. And so she understands all these things, even some of them better than I do now. You know, I'm so proud of everything she's fought back with and won this fight. I have to share with you, Peter, she's been remarkable. Yeah, really, really remarkable. I want to tell you, All of these products, you use the code OUTLOUD, AmericaOutLoud.shop. I really believe in these things. That's why I do this. Dr. McCullough does as well. That's why he talks about them. We don't do this for any other reason. Healthy Cell has been here with us for over 6 years now, actually, on this network. It's hard to believe, but it's more than 6 years. It's going to be closer to 7 years because the network will be 8 years in April. And they were here that first year that we started. And here they are still in 2024. It's remarkable. It's amazing. Anyways, I love the product. You get 25% off the first order. Use the code OUTLOUD. I believe in this stuff wholeheartedly. Another one is the Wellness Company. The products are amazing. The company is amazing. The base spike detox, of course, Dr. McCullough's protocol is amazing. You get 25% off their product. Again, use the code OUTLOUD. They also have these kits out, these amazing, amazing emergency kits with ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, the Z-Pack, the budesonide, and all kinds of great things in there. They have a whole series of these emergency kits now. So take a look at that as well on the Wellness Company. And all of this is at AmericaOutLoud.shop. You can take a look at all those products there. And Brave, we're going to go to pause right now. And I got to tell you the other one that I am enjoying, and Dee is enjoying it as well. The first time I gave it to her, she didn't like the taste of it. And it's Heal Right, H-E-A-L, Heal Right. And I made the mistake of giving her the peanut butter one. And I didn't like that one either, frankly. This is me now. But I love the chocolate pomegranate one. I love the lemon blueberry one. And I love the apple fig one. There are four flavors, by the way. She's been eating it as well. And this one is just fantastic because I feel good with it. I mean, high blood sugar, chronic inflammation, high cholesterol, overweight, all these things, it helps you fight this back. And it's pretty cool stuff. Have you tried any of the flavors, Dr. McCullough?
Yeah, I have. And I think probably the positioning there is they're very good for hunger control. Let me tell you what, if you're hungry,
100%,
probably 100%. Just even half one of those, Malcolm, it just kills your hunger. And some 100%, people, yeah. You know, who are fighting that, you know, whenever I have somebody who's overweight or obese, I always ask them about how hungry they are. Some people profile out where they're very hungry. Their hunger drive is high. Others not. But those with the high hunger drive, they should take a look at it. It's all natural products, and I think it's something really to consider.
Yeah, it's a micronutrient bars. They're two little ones in the package, and they taste absolutely marvelous. I love them. I have them in the mornings. Dee's having them as well, and they're just really, really good. And you know it. You feel good with that. Have that in coffee. Take a 4-mile walk. Come back before you shower, and then go to the bathroom, and you'll feel good for the rest of the day, friends. On that note, we're going to take a pause here. That'll get you ready for the day. We're going to come back on Q&A 105 on America Out Loud Pulse.
Cholesterol, blood pressure, blood sugar, inflammation, and weight. These are all real-world problems that 87% of Americans are struggling with. Often, there are no symptoms, but left unattended, we become inundated with one health problem after another. It's time to fight back with Heal Right. Heal Right is a bar that you eat, but it's food as medicine that addresses the nutritional root cause of health issues in just 8 weeks. Developed by world-renowned scientists and backed by 15 years of research, Heal Right is effective, but it's also delicious and works without additional diet or lifestyle changes. Step out of the statistics and use food as medicine. Visit healright.com/outloud or AmericaOutLoud.shop and use the code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
Millions of Americans are needlessly suffering from the long-haul effects of the toxic spike protein. Dr. Peter McCullough and his team at The Wellness Company designed their spike support formula to counteract harmful spike protein from COVID-19 and vaccines so you can feel your best. Go to OutLoudCare.com today and use code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order.
Maintaining a strong immune system has never been more critical. Nutrition company Healthy Cell created Immune Super Boost to help you strengthen your immunity. Unlike other supplements that don't work, Immune Super Boost is not a pill. It's a gel you swallow with ultra absorption of science-backed nutrients proven to support immunity, like vitamin C, D3, zinc, elderberry, and echinacea. Go to HealthyCell.com and use limited time code OUTLOUD for 25% off your first order, risk-free. Love it or your money back, guaranteed. HealthyCell.com, code OUTLOUD.
Who's got time for a nasal invasion messing up your lifestyle? Crush those nasties before they become a problem. For a limited time, when you add the new Cofix RX throat spray to your order with the coupon code OUTLOUD, you'll receive 20% off the entire purchase. Go to AmericaOutloud.shop. That's AmericaOutloud.shop and use coupon code OUTLOUD.
Use Cofix RX because it works.
Expert opinions, honest debate, and in-depth investigations are what you've come to expect from AmericaOutloud.news. We don't shy away from speaking the truth boldly and plainly. All that's missing is the propaganda that has infected legacy and social media. Get the best of down and dirty, wholesome American speak. Now is our time, my fellow Americans. America Out Loud Talk Radio. Liberty and justice for all. Welcome back, my fellow Americans here. Welcome back to America Out Loud, boss, and all of our friends around the world. I must add that in. I've been seeing a lot of countries. I want to tell you, Dr. McCullough, it's funny, in the analytics, I'm all over Europe. They love to listen to the network here. Oh, it's funny to see some of these countries, South Africa, a lot of South Africans listen to the program. And of course, Australians and New Zealands, we have a marvelous relationship with here. They love the network. But it's interesting to see things light up all over the world and people listening in throughout Europe, throughout Australia, New Zealand. Isn't that cool?
It is, you know, they're, everyone's searching for independent media, you know, platforms where one can express their views and have some interchange. Yeah. Remember this idea that we have to be in a tribe and we all have to agree with each other. It doesn't wash.
You and I are so in sync with this. I love
on
when
either
you say
side
that.
Of the aisle, we just have to be able to discuss things. And nowadays people are like, oh, I can't, someone has said that. I can't stand to hear it.
Yeah.
Come on. We're bigger and stronger than what our tribes are. And we need to be able to discuss these issues. I mean, we just have one controversy after another. You know, it just doesn't seem to stop.
I love what you say there. I really, really love what you say there because it's the heart. It's the heartbeat of America Out Loud. But you and I are in sync. We could be the poster children for what you just said. And because we really do believe in diversity of thought, diversity of opinion, diversity of people. We're very open-minded to having a conversation. We don't belong to the tribe mentality. And we just want to continue to convince people to think that way in all aspects of life. It really is a beautiful thing, friends. And I live my life that way every day. And that's why I live the platform that way. My show, a lot of people I don't agree with, I have them on, but I'm always respectful. I always love to hear their opinion, their thoughts. I mean, I may get off the show with them and then I might scream when the mic's low, but when I'm done.
No, but remember, when you're a media person, it's not up to you to agree or disagree. Amen. We're just having a conversation. You know, one of the things you can pay attention to, you turn on the mainstream media, you listen to any one of these anchors, how much of it is them expressing their opinion or their opinion of their producers? And how much is them just what's called, it used to be called listening to learn. You're just listening to learn. Just ask a question and listen for the answer. And what's happened is I used to study this. He goes, you know, I was on, you know, primetime TV through the pandemic hundreds of times. And I'd be listening to this and say, okay, that person has spent more time expressing their opinion than actually me being the guest giving the analysis.
That's right. That's right. And I could tell you which hosts do that. In fact, but I'm not going to. but a lot of them do that, and it's not the best way to do it. It's better to have an open mind and to get it all out there. So, okay, Q&A 105. This one is from Danny, and this is from from Texas. It's a 33-year-old Southwest Airlines flight attendant. And this email, this message was actually sent in to myself, Dr. McCullough, also Dr. Paul Alexander, who's on the network, and Dr. Harvey Reich, by chance. Mm-hmm. But I want to get it out because it needs to be answered, and they emailed me on this. Thank you so much for taking complicated science and distilling it for lay people like me. It is empowering. Oh, I like that, Danny. I like it. I do understand how the cycling of the PCR test in upwards of 40 to 45 cycles produces a 90% false positive rate. That makes complete sense. But can someone please explain how the COVID home tests came into being, number one, two, how they work, and three, their accuracy? This information will help so much when speaking to family about how these tests don't accurately detect positive COVID results, since most people these days take at-home tests and not PCRs. What do you say to that?
Right. So the home test is basically, there are two antibodies, one that is fixed to the plate, and then you you put a sample either on a swab from the nose or the mouth or saliva, you know, in this little chamber. And then the second antibody is what you mix in when you crack it, and a little liquid goes in there. And that's the second antibody. And the antibodies have to pin the virus. Theoretically, they're pinning the virus. And if you get enough of it, it'll turn positive, and you'll be able to see it. It'll actually, you know, turn a different color. So that's how it works. It's called an ELISA, an enzyme-linked immunosorbent assay, chemiluminescent. And the Australians or Brits call it RAT, a rapid antigen test. But it relies on two antibody pairs. Now, in general, it's not as sensitive, so you're more likely to be false negative. But when it's positive, and and you probably need to do it twice, and it's consistently positive, you're more likely to have what's considered a positive predictive value. Positive predictive value is the probability of disease being present when the test is positive. And what I've always said is that, listen, the PCR would be fine if they kept the cycle thresholds below 28, like the CDC said, and the antigen test is fine. In fact, they're complementary. For someone to actually truly have COVID, they probably ought to hit it on both tests. We do that for HIV, by the way. We don't rely on one test to diagnose someone with HIV. We do both. And so because it's such a big deal, people are in quarantine, lockdown, all this casual and sloppy testing, Malcolm, all it did was lead to just greater confusion. But sadly, as the listener points out, most of the time it was false positive PCRs. Now remember, many times for public officials, you'll say, you heard, they tested positive for COVID. Remember that? They tested positive for COVID. Yeah. My next question is, well, do they have it? Are they sick? Or are they just testing positive? I always thought that that was kind of a soft way of trying to say something. You tested positive for COVID. What does that mean? Are you sick? I was going to say, do you have the syndrome or not? Remember, the syndrome is fever, nasal congestion, body aches, difficulty breathing, and a consistent positive test. That's COVID, not just testing positive.
And most people are not even taking the test anymore anyways, because in fact, you see, the CDC just came out after 4 years now. I think it's 4 years since the beginning, isn't it? Yeah, about, and normalized and said, okay, you don't have to, you know, hunker down anymore, right? You see that this past week.
Right. It's essentially like having a cold, honestly. Right. You know, before people said, well, you were in the same room with somebody. Right. You have to go into quarantine. Remember how ridiculous that was? Yeah. You got exposed to someone with COVID. So now you need to go home and quarantine. Yeah. I mean, it was where we don't know you could have it. I remember my wife tried to see her father when he was in hospital in Toronto, and my wife crosses the border. They said, well, we don't know if you have it or not. You have to go into a mandatory Canadian quarantine for 14 days.
Wow. Yeah.
And somebody who's perfectly well, she goes, I feel fine. I had it before. She even had proof she had it before. No, we don't know if you have it. So the whole point, but the whole point of this Canadian stay in quarantine for 2 weeks is that you could avoid getting the illness altogether. You could skate out of this without getting. That was the most ridiculous assumption, because we all got it. 97% of us got it. It was ridiculous making somebody wait for 2 weeks for something, because right. We're all going to get it.
Yeah. And had they left their hands off the scale, we would have swum through the whole thing much sooner, quicker, faster.
Yes.
Than what they did. They really pushed this thing and made it a major pandemic. It didn't have to be that bad, did it? You know,
it didn't have to be that long, Malcolm. I mean, a lot of experts say, listen, no vaccines, none of this lockdown, distancing, just treating the sick people, this thing would have been over with.
Yeah, herd immunity never had a chance to catch on. I mean, by golly, you know? I mean, the human body is a marvelous invention, by the way, if you let it do its thing. This next one is Lisa from California. She says here, we listen to Dr. McCullough and Malcolm all the time. Our question, for those who took the COVID vaccine, is there currently a blood test that the person can take that will show whether their blood contains the vaccine spike protein? Thanks and God bless you both and all of America Out Loud for your honest, sincere information. What do you think?
There will be a spike protein antigen test, and a bunch of labs are working on it. Our clinic's working on it with the lab. It's close.
Ooh.
So right now we indirectly measure the total antibodies against the spike protein, the quantitative assay, and our clinic is using the one with LabCorp. There's two major lab providers in the United States, LabCorp and Quest. But the LabCorp extended range will measure it. It'll measure it as high as you ask the lab to do it. But after a while, they'll tell you, listen, we can't keep diluting this. It's ridiculous. So our clinic discussed it with them. We said, listen, at 25,000. So let me give an example. Natural infection, like you and me, a couple of years afterwards, maybe we're at zero spike now, or 100 or 200 on this scale. Malcolm, it's about done because it is so far ago. Somebody who took the vaccine even 2 years ago, they could be 6,000, 7,000.
Wow.
Somebody, I had a woman the other day, she took five shots, Malcolm, five.
Oh,
she came in a wheelchair. Her legs were so swollen.
Oh, my
five
God.
Shots. She was over 25,000 on this, Malcolm.
Oh,
I got an ultrasound. Both her legs are filling up with blood clots.
Oh, my God. Horrible. Just horrible. This spike protein test is really, this is very interesting to me. When do you suspect, how close are we? What are you talking, weeks, months, or a long time?
Probably months.
Months.
But even if you wanted to get the LabCorp now, it is of interest. We try to size people up all the time. There are multiple papers showing the higher the antibodies against the spike, the more symptoms people have.
Now, this is a big deal, this test, though. When this is available and comes out, this is going to be a big help, is it not? This is going to
it's going to be huge. It'll probably be the most widely used test.
Yeah, this is significant. This is, I want to know when this is close. We got to know what's, this is big. This is, I'm glad Lisa sent that question in. This next one's from Tracy. Dr. McCullough, I want to get on the nattokinase, but I'm already on blood thinners as it is. Is nattokinase safe to take with blood thinners, or should I only use the nattokinase and forget the other thinners?
No, it's safe. We just have to watch for excessive bleeding. So have not had any bleeding events. I recently had, let me tell you, I recently, we always learn from our practice experience. So I had a man who was on Eliquis, I believe for atrial fibrillation. Now he had a pacemaker in his left pectoral area, his chest area. So he's on Eliquis, the standard dose is 5 twice a day. And as I recall, he's up in age. And we were gonna start nattokinase. So I was worried about him bleeding. And I said, nattokinase is a blood thinner, so is bromelain. So I said, let's cut your Eliquis dose in half, which we can actually do based on age and other criteria. So we cut it in half and we started the nattokinase. Guess what happened? He developed a blood clot in the left arm behind the pacemaker leads. So, I've been working with him all this weekend. I really profusely apologize. I said, we never should have let down in the Eliquis dose. So if you go full dose Eliquis or full dose Xarelto and you take nattokinase and bromelain and there's no bleeding, there's no reason to reduce the dose of anticoagulant. We don't want to get burned with another blood clot.
All right, this one's from Benji. Have you seen myocarditis form in a person who was previously myocarditis free?
Oh, yes, for sure. We've seen it happen with the vaccine alone. I've seen, having COVID before, after vaccine, myocarditis for sure. Patients with prior myocarditis. I've seen a patient who had Coxsackie myocarditis. Then they come into the pandemic and again, some type of exposure, most likely vaccine, and they develop myocarditis. So yeah, it does occur de novo and it's recurrent in those who've already had it.
Yeah. All right. Jess is asking, I've seen a normal heart muscle in comparison to a vaccine-induced myocarditis heart muscle. Dr. McCullough, is this on everyone who is vaccinated?
We don't know. I can tell you, I do a lot of ultrasounds in the vaccinated, and the hearts look normal, but they're using positron emission tomography. A paper by Nakahara and colleagues showed that the metabolic profile of the heart is different in everybody who took the shot, at least out to 6 months. And the heart, instead of normally preferring free fatty acids for its fuel, it begins to prefer glucose. And that's an abnormal ischemic pattern. The thought is maybe there's micro blood clots in the capillary system. There is a paper by Crossan and colleagues showing people who die, you can actually find messenger RNA in the heart. You can find Pfizer Moderna stuck in the heart. So the theory is probably everybody's got some in the heart. The question is, who is it going to affect enough to where there's symptoms or some impairment in performance? You know, talking about this, I always think of Travis Kelce, the tight end for Kansas City. He's taking the Pfizer shots. He promotes Pfizer. He seems to be playing pretty well. He's a Super Bowl champ, and you know, he doesn't seem to be impaired at all. So it's still a great mystery who's going to be affected and who isn't.
Yeah, that's like everything in life. I mean, you just don't know. This one is from Noah. There was a study that showed 50% of people don't have any spike protein from the vax in their system. Mm-hmm. Does this mean that people have cleared the vax out and are now in the clear?
Well, I think it's more likely that they have gotten such a low dose of the messenger RNA that they probably cleared it out or it's undetectable. And this is a very astute listener. This is the paper by Brogna and colleagues from Germany. And he's right. Half of the people had detectable spike out to 6 months, but half had undetectable spike. All these people took Pfizer, Moderna. So this is quite interesting. Now, the spike protein itself, Malcolm, it always travels in three. So it twists around it. So there's always three of them. It's called trimerizes. So it doesn't want to just travel alone. It's like three snakes, and they always go into threes, and they intertwine, and then they travel around the body. It's a very interesting protein. Remember, this is what was engineered in this Chinese biosecurity lab, and this is what's inside most people who took the shot.
Yeah, wow, pretty sad. Lori says, I believe I have AFib caused by stress in my life for many years. I would like to know if there is any way of reversing this condition, or is there any safe drugs to take if my doctor insists that I do? I love the show there. What do you say?
Okay, well, I can't give direct medical advice, but let's talk about AFib in general. Atrial fibrillation is the most common abnormal heart rhythm in adults. 15% of us are going to get it. The two most common reversible factors for AFib, Malcolm, obesity and alcohol. Obesity and alcohol. So if you can drop weight and stop drinking, that's the best chance to kind of get this to go away and resolve. Other secondary things can cause it, a low thyroid or a high thyroid. So always want to check the thyroid. Sometimes we need to get that straightened out. If atrial fibrillation, it becomes persistent or permanent, the risk is a stroke. Small blood clot forms in the heart because the heart is quivering, the atria is quivering, and then a stroke occurs. And so atrial fibrillation for most people means mandatory blood thinners like Eliquis, apixaban, Pradaxa, warfarin. And then drugs to control the heart rhythm would be metoprolol, drugs to convert the heart rhythm, flecainide, amiodarone, then ablations. So this is starting to be pretty complicated, a lot of doctor's visits and a lot of drugs. So let me tell you what, I think everybody out there, if we can trim a few pounds off, lay off the booze and not get into AFib, we'd be a lot better off.
Okay, quality of life, yeah. This one's from Gaston. Short-term side effects are a set of symptoms that are close to when receiving a drug. 3 years, we know short-term effects. Fast forward to today. Have you seen medium-term or long-term effects arise? And how would you categorize medium and long-term effects?
I'd say medium-term, Malcolm, autoimmunity. So the blood tests start to turn positive with markers that the immune system is attacking itself. So that would be the ANA, the anti-nuclear antibody, the ANCA, anti-nuclear cytoplasmic antibody, rheumatoid factor, and anti-citrullinated peptide. So I'd say that medium term, I think autoimmunity. Medium term, also the cumulative effect of every 6 month shots. like blood clots building up in the leg of the patient I saw. The long-term effects, like, you know, something that comes out of the blue years later, I think of cancer. And could the vaccines cause cancer? Till today, I had a young woman. She's 37. And listen, she didn't take the vaccine. But 10 years ago, she had metastatic melanoma, a skin cancer that spread throughout her body. And miraculously, the surgeons were able to save her. And I told her, I looked her at point blank today, Malcolm, I said, you probably had what's called a P53 mutation. She probably had a mutation in the body's natural cancer surveillance system. If you would have taken a vaccine, the vaccines knock down P53. So someone who is at risk for metastatic melanoma at baseline, it would have been curtains.
All right, Jackie says, I recently visited a cardiologist aware of the vaccine issues in the UK. I had an electrocardiogram and an echocardiogram, and the results were clear. He reassured me that I don't have myocarditis and that I am not at risk of cardiac arrest. I trust this man, and I am reassured that I will be okay, but I am still a worrier. What do you make of this? I'm not even sure I understand the question. That would be good news, no?
You know, people want assurances that, honestly, that they're not going to have a cardiac arrest.
Right.
So we do everything we can. I mean, I additionally do some blood tests. I do what she got, but, you know, I add the blood troponin, the BNP, galectin 3, ST2, physical exam, and, you know, we try to basically do some risk prediction. I saw several athletes. I additionally do genetic testing for inherited sodium and potassium channel abnormalities in the heart to try, you know, so I'm applying some technology. I'm spending some dollars. I'm not spending thousands of dollars, but I'm spending a few hundred dollars to give people a peace of mind that this is behind them. And a lot of people are saying, listen, it's worth it. I'm seeing too many people with cardiac arrest. You know, do the additional blood test, do the genetic swab in the mouth.
Yeah, yeah. Well, sounds like Jackie's got good news, though, from the UK cardiologist. So,
well, yeah, I mean, listen, you know, every piece of good news, you'll take it. Let me tell you a good piece of news people, you know, ought to always have to get the copies of. If you have a normal EKG, you know, you can't beat normal. Normal is really good. And the EKGs have so much algorithms on them. It almost has AI on them nowadays. It's actually very hard to get a normal EKG. There's almost always some comment at the top.
So right, we're gonna end on this big one right here. This is a great one to end on from Norm. He said, I understand you don't have a crystal ball, but do you think people will be spared from the vaccine in the long term? That's a great question to end on. What do you say to Norm?
I think the majority of people will. You know, there could be even upwards of 90% of people will be spared of the vaccine. I think we're focusing on 5 to 10% that are in trouble right now. That's where all our focus should be.
Yeah, that makes sense. What you say, I get it. I mean, I do understand what you're saying. And that's good news, though, for a lot of people. And again, it comes back to quality of health and all the things we have to do. And for those few, you have to fight it. You have to try your best. We've learned a lot from this thing over the past few years. Friends, that's Q&A 105 in the books here. And remember to get back to us over at AmericaOutloud.news and share the out loud truth. We have just an incredible group of folks there working so hard to get it all out there, to make a difference in the world. We all need to make a difference in the world, actually. And I hope you'll join us and be part of that movement to do exactly that. Thank you for joining us on the mission here on America Out Loud Pulse. Always a beat the hit.